He is, of course, former president, and he has won the elections. He has a permanent status in Finnish public life. And of course, we are very proud of the prize.
Nun gibt es zwei Meldungen aus den letzten Wochen, die mit Finnland zu tun haben und die ganz merkwürdig auseinanderfallen. Die eine ist der Friedensnobelpreis für ihren Kollegen, auch Außenminister, Matti Ahtisaari. Und er wurde für die großen Verdienste für friedliche Lösungen in der Welt, im Kosovo und Indonesien ausgezeichnet. Darüber haben sich alle Finnen gefreut und auch viele in der Welt. Auf der anderen Seite war vor kurzem erst der zweite schwere Amoklauf von einem 22-jährigen Jungen in Finnland, der bewaffnet war, weil Finnland ganz lockere Waffengesetze hat. Und wie geht das denn zusammen?
It really is a good question because the Foreign Ministry has just appointed a new committee which should sort of improve the brand image of Finland. And I think that we have a lot of uphill work to do with things like what happened in Kauhajoki taking place. Finland is in some respects perhaps one of the most American countries in the world because we come immediately after the US and Yemen in the proportion of handguns held by people. So it's very easy, much too easy, to get hold of handguns. The traditional Finnish way was to use the puukko, a knife, when you were in trouble, but now it has been taken over by handguns. So I hope, I expect that we will toughen up our laws so it will make it not so easy to do this. But we cannot do away immediately with the sort of melancholy and the marginalization of young people, which is the cause for this. But what we can do is we can make it more difficult for people to get hold of guns.
Haben Sie irgendeine Erklärung, warum solche Exzesse stattfinden in einem vorbildlichen Schulsystem und in einem Land, das doch von Wohlstand sehr gezeichnet ist, also im positiven Sinne?
Well, Finland has a very special situation. And if we come to this, look, it was interesting that Hella Vuolijoki, my grandmother, was originally Estonian. She came to study at the university in Helsinki. She married a Finn and she became Finnish. But actually her first home language back in Estonia had been German. They were not Baltic Germans, but the middle classes, some of them used German at home. So only when she was 12 did she start speaking Estonian at home. And one of the mysteries that I have tried to answer in the book is, how was it possible, or is it possible, for a person to hold at the same time patriotic feelings for Estonia, Finland, and the Soviet Union of Joseph Stalin? It doesn't really go together from today's perspective, but I think that one explanation is that she always abhorred war and violence. She didn't support the Reds in the Finnish Civil War in 1918. She did not support the Bolshevik in Estonian. In the Estonian Civil War, she supported the bourgeois government of Estonia and helped them. But at the same time, she clearly was some sort of agent for the Soviet security services.
Also in diesem Buch geht es um Hella Vuolijoki, und diese Dame, wie er schon sagte, kommt, hat estnische Wurzeln und macht in Finnland Karriere, was ja damals etwas sehr Ungewöhnliches war, auch als Frau, denn es war auch selbst in Finnland schwierig. Vielleicht können Sie uns noch mal erzählen, was Sie an dieser Frau so fasziniert hat, dass Sie sich sehr lange mit ihr beschäftigt haben. What's fascinating with Hella?
She was a very multifaceted person. She's not... You cannot describe her with a single word. She was a fellow traveling communist, never a member of the party. She was a very successful dramatist, but she didn't go for socialist realism. She was a friend of Gorky, but their literary tastes were different. She was also a very successful businesswoman, the first woman in Finland to actually to gather a million-dollar fortune during the First World War. She was also entertaining a Soviet spy who was sent to Finland during the war. She was condemned to life in prison. She was released after the war, and she became briefly a very central figure in Finnish politics because she knew everyone. And she was a sort of conduit between Finnish politicians and Soviet politicians. She used her contacts very widely. She also became Director General of the Finnish Radio after the war, when the far left and the communists were in government. She knew almost everyone in Finland, but she also had a lot of international contact. She started her career as an Estonian writer, writing in Estonian. Then she became a businesswoman and left writing for a period. But when her business, she was a sawmill operator in Finland, ended up in bankruptcy in 1931, she started again writing plays which were hugely successful and saved her personal economy.
Sie haben es vorhin schon angedeutet, sie sprach Deutsch und sie hatte auch ein Verhältnis zu dieser Sprache, zu dieser deutschen Sprache. Wie wichtig war für Hella diese Deutsch, dieses, die Sprache der deutschen Dichter und Denker? How deep was the influence or the relations to the German language?
As I said, that was her first home language. And I think that her good knowledge of German was the key to her relationship with Bertolt Brecht. Because Bertolt Brecht, as a refugee, came to Finland in 1940, stayed for 13 months, was a guest of Hella Vuolijoki at her estate, and they didn't know beforehand. Of course, Brecht's reputation was known to Hella Vuolijoki. But Hella Vuolijoki also, they were both fascinated by each other. Hella Vuolijoki was more of an oral narrator, and when she started telling stories in her excellent German, Brecht was fascinated. And Margaret Steffen was there and took notes, and they were planning to give out a book, Vuolijoki Erzählt, which you can find in the Brecht archives.
So which was the language in which they talked?
German, fluent German, both of them.
What was the result of this collaboration of the both?
Well, the most famous result, well-known result, is, of course, the play Herr Puntila und sein Knecht Matti.
Could you tell this on Finnish, please?
Herra Puntila ja hänen renkinsä Matti, which was originally a manuscript that Hella Vuolijoki had written in the 30s, but no one in Finland was interested in it. She improvised a translation into German for Brecht. Brecht was interested, and they started working together on the play. And they finished the play. They entered a dramatist competition in Finland. They didn't win any prizes. And it was only after the war that the play was first performed. And what is interesting is that this is the only work where Brecht has acknowledged co-authorship with someone else. There is a written agreement about dealing the royalties and copyrights 50-50. As you know, Brecht, Hella Vuolijoki was warned already before.
Ego, yes, of course.
Before she met Brecht, that Brecht stahl.
So it seems to be he was very impressed by her.
They were both impressed by each other.
Okay. Jetzt frage ich nochmal auf Deutsch: Wird dieses Stück heute noch in Finland gespielt?
Well, I think it's been actually performed everywhere in the world. I mean, I get the reports, the royalty reports, and Argentine, Spain, Germany, Finland too. But in Finland, of course, Hella Vuolijoki's own plays about the Niskavuori family is perhaps the most popular series. There were five in the series, and they are being performed almost continually. They have also been performed abroad, even in Germany, but for what, just once or twice. You know, Hella Vuolijoki, although she was a fellow traveller, she was also very interested in promoting her plays, even in Nazi Germany. And the women of property, or women of Niskavuori, was the play that she tried to sell in Germany. And it, initially, the German theater was interested because it was very much a Blot und Boden type of play about the estate taking over relations between people. And it would have appealed to the cultural atmosphere in Germany at the time. But when the theaters were warned that the author was a suspected communist, nothing came of it.
Wir haben hier auf dem Titel Ihres Buches, da ich aber eine sehr unverwüstliche Frau bin, Bert Brecht mit Hella. Wann ist diese Aufnahme gemacht worden? Ich kann hier erkennen, Deutsches Theater, und wo?
I think that is in front of the Berliner Ensemble in 1949.
Also nach dem Krieg. Das heißt, man hat sich auch nach dem Krieg noch getroffen.
Yes, they met in Berlin, I think, and they were in correspondence with each other. Also from when Brecht was in the US, Hella Wolyoki needed a statement from Brecht that this is a long history, but when she was accused of harboring the Soviet spy, she also tried to engage the support of Brecht and others abroad. And then after the war, they started corresponding again and met in Berlin. But of course, the play was being performed purely as a Brecht play, and no royalties were paid. So she had to remind Brecht of their agreement.
Wie kam Hella durch den Krieg, durch den Zweiten Weltkrieg, 1940 bis 1945? Die Finnen haben sich ja sehr unterschiedlich verhalten und die Beziehungen haben sich sehr verändert, auch zu den Deutschen.
Before the war started, she had extensive contacts with Soviet diplomats and Soviet agents who were trying to get Finland to agree to some sort of security arrangement before the Second World War started. When the Winter War started, she wrote to the government, to the foreign minister, offering her services to try and reopen negotiations with the Soviet Union, because she knew Alexandra Kollontai, who was the Soviet ambassador in Stockholm. And the Finnish government actually agreed to send her as a secret emissary to Stockholm. And she managed to reopen the negotiations, which then led to the peace in spring 1940. During the interim period before the continuation war, she also tried to use her contacts to get Finland to stay out of the war. But by 1941, there were already 2,000 German troops in the north of Finland, and we had no possibility of staying outside the war. She used her contacts, or the Soviet contacts, sent with a parachute young woman to her. Her story is, Hella Wolyoki's story is, that she thought that this was a peace emissary. While the truth perhaps was more that this was a quite common spy who had been given a task to find out about Finnish armaments, etc. So when this was discovered, obviously, Hella Wolyoki was brought to trial. The prosecutor demanded the death penalty, but she was given a life sentence. But of course, when the war ended, she and all the other political prisoners were released, and she became, for a brief period, very central in politics.
Yes, she was rescued, isn't it?
Yes.
Sie wollte auch nach London in dieser Zeit, Great Britain, but she was sie war unter Verdacht. Was haben die Briten über sie gedacht?
Well, this is, by the way, the book also is about Hella Wolyoki's sister, Salome, 2 years younger. She was never a public person. But she also had a very interesting history. She also moved to Finland before the First World War, was married in Finland. Then in 1918, she became suddenly very radicalized, and she was sent by the Comintern and by Otto Ville Kuusinen to Britain as the Comintern representative. And she was a very important behind-the-scenes figure in the British Communist Party. She married Rajani Palmerdat, and Rajani Palmerdat, Swedish Indian origin, was for more than 30 years the ideological Stalinist leader of the British Communist Party. But behind her, Salome had a very central role because it is said that no important documents were adopted by the party without having Salome's approval. And Salome entered the UK with a legal visa at the first time in 1920. About the same time, Hella Vuolijoki also applied for a visa to Britain. But at the time, she didn't get it because some in the security branch were saying, well, perhaps this this lady is a very dangerous revolutionary. She should not be let into Britain. But others in the security apparatus were saying, well, her sister is in a legal visa, and she is a fiery red. And compared with her, Hella Vuolijoki is only a delicate shade of pink. And that's where, when I saw this in the documents, I had the name for the book, which is in English, is A Delicate Shade of Pink. Actually, she was much more than just a shade of pink, but at the time, by the way, it was Winston Churchill personally as war minister who denied the visa to Hella Vuolijoki. But later on, she visited Britain several times. She had good contacts with British politicians. She had some British capitalists investing in her sawmills, etc.
How did Winston Churchill think about Hella?
I don't think he thought much about it, but he just looked at the papers that this lady has a revolutionary background, and in 1920 that was not a recommendation for getting to Britain.
Okay, so he stopped her. Ich frage mal weiter auf Deutsch, diese Hella zu verstehen. Also sie war eine femme de lettres. Sie war kam aus einer bürgerlichen Familie. Sie hat Holzhandel betrieben, sehr erfolgreich als Kauffrau. Das heißt, sie war damals schon sehr ungewöhnlich. Sie war eine Unternehmerin. Sie hat die Salons in Helsinki geführt. Sie stand immer wieder unter dem Verdacht, der deutschen Agentin zu sein. Sie stand unter dem Verdacht, Agentin für die Russen zu sein. Und Sie haben in dem Buch auch Ihr Verhältnis zu einem Mann beschrieben, der ja für viele damals eine wichtige Rolle gespielt hat. Stalin. Wie hat sie Stalin gesehen und welchen Platz hat Stalin in ihrem Herzen eingenommen?
She idealized Stalin. She was thought of as the great like people are writing about Kim Jong-il in North Korea, but that was the Stalinist style at the time. But I don't think she had much. She did meet Stalin once at least. I don't think she had much of a personal relationship with him. But there is an interesting theme in Hella Vuolijoki's life, and that is a pattern of quick infatuations with elder men, which perhaps passed soon, but which led to lifelong friendships which were important for her. The first one was Jan Tönnison, and everyone in Estonia knows that Jan Tönnison is the leader of the liberal national movement, many times prime minister, etc. And they were staid friends even when Hella Vuolijoki became a socialist in 1906. Her second man was Anatoly, and Anatoly was the link to Stalin because Anatoly was the underground organizer of the Bolsheviki in Finland in 1906, and his real name was Meyer Abramovich Trilisa. He was then, in 1906, sent to Siberia for 10 years. But when, after the October Revolution, he became the number two or number three in the Soviet intelligence apparatus. So he was the link to Stalin. And of course, then she married in Finland also a Finnish member of parliament, Sulo Vuolijoki.
Gut, dann muss ich die Frage stellen, wenn sie so dicht auch an Informationen dran war, was wusste sie über das System der Repression, über das System der Gulags, über das System der großen Säuberung? Allein im Jahre 1937 hat Stalin 1,3 Millionen Parteigenossen festnehmen lassen und davon 667.000 erschossen oder erschießen lassen. Was wusste sie über den Terror Stalins?
It's difficult to know exactly, but I'm sure that she must have known something. She knew very well that her Anatoly, her lover from her youth, was an important man in the security apparatus. But she sort of closed her eyes and accepted the official explanations. She never attacked any of those who lost their lives in Stalin's purges. Some of them were her personal friends. She never defended them either. But she was Regarding Jan Tönnies, for example, who was when Estonia was incorporated into the Soviet Union in 1940, he disappeared and he was later shot. She also retained her friendship with Tönnison's wife, who was in exile in Stockholm, and she wrote very appreciatively about her on her 60th birthday. So that is an indication that she didn't quite accept the Stalinist reality as such, even in Estonia or elsewhere. But she never raised her voice against it. Perhaps she was too entwined with her secret contacts with the NKVD.
Wir können ja Hella nicht mehr fragen, sie ist schon lange tot, verstorben. Aber wie würde sie heute sich verhalten in Helsinki? Und wie würde sie das neue Russland sehen, dieses Putin-Russland? Was glauben Sie?
Well, actually, in conjunction with this book, I also did write to Putin and I also talked with him because I tried to get access to some documents in Russian archives, which I knew existed there about Lavoljak had written reports in 1940. And there were copies in the war archives. But the result was, even if I did have a friendly conversation with Putin, that I never got the documents. They were still secret.
Not now?
No. I mean,
no glasnost?
No. I mean, the Soviet archives, former Soviet archives, were more open 10 years ago. Now they have closed down. And this is perhaps an indication of what is going on in Russia.
To put it all under the carpet. Yeah. Darf ich, und ich würde gerne noch mal, ich will ihn doch irgendwo dazu bringen, noch auf Deutsch, er kann wunderbar Deutsch. Sie haben auch eine längere Amtszeit gehabt, zusammen mit Joschka Fischer.
Ja, und ich hoffentlich wird Joschka Fischer auch in einem Seminar teilnehmen in Berlin nach zwei Wochen über dieses Buch.
Kann man sagen, dass Sie mit Joschka Fischer befreundet sind?
Ja, und wir haben auch zusammen Rennen in Helsinki und in vielen anderen Orten im Zusammenhang mit den Ratsmeetings.
Wenn Sie zusammen gejoggt sind, und das war ja damals noch die aktive Phase, inzwischen läuft er nicht mehr, hat man da auch über Politik gesprochen oder über ganz andere Dinge?
Politik am meisten. Wir haben dieselben Hintergrund als 60. Die Generation von 68.
68er, ja. Sie haben hier ein Zeichen am Revier, das tragen Sie ganz bewusst.
Ja, das tue ich, ja. In fact, there's only once has someone asked me about this in the European meetings. That was the Swedish Prime Minister Göran Persson, who came to me and said, "Ah, so you are for peace." And I just said, "Aren't we all then?"
Darf ich Sie zum Schluss noch mal fragen, werden die Finnen im internationalen Bereich wieder mehr gebraucht als Vermittler? Die Welt wird ja nicht einfacher. Auch diese Bankenkrise, wir wissen noch nicht, wo sie politisch hinführen wird. Sind es wichtige Zeiten jetzt auch für Diplomaten und für so kleine Länder wie Finnland, dass man auf ihre Stimme hört?
Well, I hope so. We have been able to perform some useful services, and of course Martti Ahtisaari is a good example of this, but there are also others who have done their bit and doing their bit, and I think that we are not a neutral country, we are members of the European Union, but we are still militarily non-aligned. That perhaps also helps.
Wie sagt man auf Finnisch? Dankeschön.
Kiitos.
Kiitos, Mr. President.
Kiitos.